Listen when you want, how you want. This is Tone FM.
Listen again.
Joining me today in this beautiful place in Cornwall, we are at the Eden Project with Not For Just The Love Of The Flowers. I'm here with a person that has put on some epic shows and does it all with nothing on his feet. I have one of my all-time favourite English musicians, DJs and record producers. I'm here with Mr. Pink Panther himself. Yes, Mr. Norman Cook. Mr. Fatboy Slim. Hello.
Good evening. Sorry, you have me giggling in that intro there. Sorry. I hope I was giggling off mic.
That's fine. I'm fine. What made you giggle?
I just
the build-up.
Yeah. And also, I'm still in awe of the fact that you've just brought me a pair of plastic feet. It's like, what do you give the man who has everything?
He's got everything.
What do you give the man who loves DJing barefoot but sometimes has to wear shoes? Shoes that are bare feet. Obviously, you can't see them very well in the radio file.
But we'll get a picture.
But yeah, so thank you very much for that.
That's all right. These questions have come really random. Okay. So before I go any further, why did you pick the Eden Project?
I've come here a couple of times with my kids over the years. And the last time I came, I happened upon the gig venue bit, which I hadn't seen before. And I just went, oh, I'd love to come back here and play a gig.
What's your favourite garden?
I'm not so big on the
flowers.
The flowers, and neither are my kids.
I like
the walkway and the tropical bit. But I put it in a bucket list. And at this time in my life, I kind of seem to think that the bucket list is worth addressing.
Yes.
I think since I turned 60, it's like we should do these things. And yeah, and then this year, I mean, every year my agent says to me, like, what's still on your bucket list? And I
so you're going for them.
So it was what I play a very really lovely looking venue that I've always wanted to play.
Yep.
It's always lovely to come down to Cornwall because I know not a lot of people come down here. So I know I get a good reception. I know there's a lot of people. So it's probably long overdue, some might argue, but here I am.
Wow, this is part of your Love Summer tour, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you did Dublin last night?
Yep.
Good one?
Fairview Park, yeah, very lovely.
So where are you after today? Whatever venues,
I can't
places?
Remember. I only know what I'm doing
That's
next
all right,
week.
I will put
we do it. We're doing Toft Manor, we're doing, is that Halifax? We're doing somewhere in Manchester, we're doing Scarborough, we're doing Galway. But this is the summer of like outdoor shows. I mean, that's why the Eden Project fitted into this summer, because last year we did the arena tour. No, last year we did the O2s, like the indoor but slightly smaller ones.
Yeah.
Year before we did the arena tour. So, I mean, the thing is, because I do this every year, we're trying to think of ways of doing it that are different.
Yeah.
To keep my interest in it and everybody else's. So, you don't, you know, most people, they don't only tour every 3 years, because I tour every single year. We're always looking for different ways to
do
it.
Yeah, I was
just saying,
don't do it every
three. So, it's kind of beautiful summer outdoor locations.
Yeah.
That's our gag this summer.
Right. Also, when you're abroad, what is your home comforts that you miss?
That I miss? Good question.
Nice cup of tea?
No. I miss my double cup of coffee in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I always have Nescafe Instant.
Oh.
I've got this enormous mug to save me going back downstairs for the second cup.
Yep.
So I do miss my really enormous cup. Because in hotels you get these little espressos. It's like, no, I need a pint of coffee in the morning.
With sachets of UHT milk, which isn't too nice.
I think the thing I miss most is my daughter, to be honest. Because we're very, very close. My son's left home now. But I'm as kind of a single parent when I'm at home, so we're very close. So my daughter's the thing I miss the most.
Oh, bless.
I wouldn't call her a home comfort, but she's more than that to me. But
oh, bless. First of all, as well, the listeners, there's a handful that have asked me, how did you come across the name Fatboy Slim?
Just out of thin air.
We were having a
drunken brainstorming session, and we wrote down a load of names, and that was the one that sort of stuck. But as soon as I heard it, it just sounded good. It sounds like some mythical blues singer that can't exist because he's an oxymoron. and it's just stupid and it means nothing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sums up what I do. There's no hidden meaning to it. It's stupid, but it makes you smile.
Do you have a lucky item that you use before a gig or?
No, I shout at magpies.
Oh, do you
have
an
intense magpie
them?
Saluting
yes.
superstition? Yeah, that's my it's not an item. It's just a part or OCD. Call it what you will, but I mean, I could be on the phone to my lawyer driving along, and then I have to stop the car
because there's
hello, Mr. Magpie. It's quarter past four. How's the wife and kids?
Yeah. Oh, so we know the whole.
Yeah,
how's your wife and children?
At one point, I've managed to rein myself back from this. But at one point, I used to do it, try and do it in the language of the country I was in. Like,
ooh.
Bonjour, monsieur le magpie. Comment elle sa fille et ses enfants?
Oh, so that's real. Oh.
Yeah, and I learned in German at one point. Yeah, so no lucky objects.
Right. Do you have any rituals before you go on stage?
Yes, I do.
Is it true? Or this is could be just media.
That Alan hits me.
Yes, yeah, I was going to ask?
Well, because that is the ritual. The other rituals are to take my shoes off, to put on the Hawaiian shirt, and then that kind of that gets me into character. And that way I'm Fat Boy rather than Norman. Yeah.
When he slaps your chops, do you duck or do you slap him back?
No, I take it. I mean, it took me a while. At first, he didn't really like doing it, but then he grew to love it. He's very good at it because if you hit me too. Don't hit me hard enough, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
If you hit me too hard, I go on stage like as long as you miss, as long as you hit the ear. If you hit the ear, it really hurts.
Yeah.
Where it really, like the air going into
Yeah, you
ears,
don't want to damage your eardrum.
But, no, he'll give me a good old smack round the chops. But it's good, it just gets my adrenaline going when I go on stage.
See, now I really did think that was just media.
No, you'll see it tonight.
Oh.
If you're on the side of the stage.
If we're on the side.
Choice.
Who's your ultimate hero?
My ultimate hero? David Byrne, I think. I mean, he's my sort of, he's my role model. Yeah. He said, bringing it back. Yeah, he's, I've worked with him quite a lot over the years, and he is just, he inspires me in what you can do in music, and we were sort of, we came from sort of similar backgrounds, sort of geeky white kids who liked black music. Yeah. And how do you do that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
do you get those rhythms into, you know, without trying to be black or, you know. Yeah. And that's sort of when it started. But he's just the way, but then in latter years he does so many brilliant things that aren't just music, and he's not just trying to have hits the whole time. And he gave me the, yeah, he kind of gave me the feeling that I don't have to make records if I don't if I feel a bit yeah. old, or if I don't feel inspired to make records. And the record company going, we need another album. I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling that. And rather than doing it being hard, I'm going to go off and do this art project. I'm going to go and curate an art
yeah.
show. And he does great things. I mean, obviously, he's way better at it than me.
Because you like your art, don't you?
I like my art, and I like other things in life. And you know, if you're going to do, you know, this has been my career my whole, since I left school, this has been my career. So you don't just want to be doing the same things yeah. over and over again. So to branch out and have collaborations with artists and stuff like that is great. David Byrne, we wrote a Broadway yeah. musical together. You know, it's like just doing different things.
Yeah.
So he inspires me. But he's, I love his questioning mind, the way he looks at things, and it's quite playful. It's not like, oh, well, that's boring. It's like, well, you know, what about if we do it this way? You know, it's like, yeah. how can we make it more? But it's still very accessible.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to be willfully like, I mean, a lot of what he does is quite surreal, but it doesn't feel like artistic surreal. It just feels like he's sort of playing with language yeah. or music or icons, or you know, and yes, and that sort of sense of humor, that sense of slight mischief,
naughtiness,
yeah, slight naughtiness, but not like, oh, I'm trying yeah. to be a rebel.
No.
I'm just trying to play with things yeah. here, you know,
challenging things slightly.
No, not even no. Because that's the thing. If you're yeah. challenging something, it's like I am kind of kicking against the system. He's like, I'm just being playful, you know. He's not. He doesn't want to come out and say. I mean, if there yeah. are things he wants to change, but he does it in a playful way.
Yeah. Alan. So, would you say yourself as Norman and Mr. Slim are two different? A bit like an alter ego.
It is like an alter ego. No, I mean, no. Fatboy is just a kind of cartoon exaggeration of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And it used to be like an exaggeration of me, but now as I've grown older, I've become more conservative with a very small c. But you know, yes, I'm grown up and I'm a parent and I'm not as irresponsible. So he's kind of my irresponsible alter ego when I can throw off responsibility.
Yeah, on a bit like on a weekend.
It's good to get him out of the box for a couple of hours. but unlike my old lifestyle. It's good to get him out for a box for a couple of hours, but put him back in after the show. Because in the old days, he would stay out for days on end, and I would stay out for days on end.
Yeah. Also, what would be your theme song that represents your life?
Oh, these are very good questions.
Oh, thank you.
What would be my theme song? The immediate one that comes to mind is a song we used to sing in the car when on long drives with my family. Well, I think it was by Peter, Paul and Mary. And it went, we may be fighting a losing battle, but having a lot of fun trying to win.
I think I know the one you're about, but I'm not going to say.
And they mostly, though, what they did was cover versions. I should try and find it. It was probably a Bob Dylan song or a lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, fighting a losing battle, but having a lot of fun trying to win. That would sum me up.
Now, if you had a time machine, would you go backwards or would you go forwards?
Ooh. Am I there permanently or am I visiting?
Just a visit.
I'll go to the future then.
But just to see what's going on.
Just see what's going on. Find out who won the World Cup that year. Put an enormous bet on it. You know, yeah.
Also, what is the strangest story you've heard about yourself via media?
Well, the weirdest one that I ever heard, I just found out why it happened. The weirdest one was the story when me and Zoe were first together and when things were going really nuts. It was like there was this sort of zenith time of my career when I'd really hit, you know, the big time. And then I started going out with Zoe, and then we became this celebrity couple. And they printed this story that we'd moved to a golf course that we we'd gone and bought a house on the edge of a golf course because I love golf, and so I wanted to play golf every day. And I was just like, it was my first experience of the tabloids just kind of lying. Yeah. And just, it's like, where did you even get that from? Why did you? I mean, I know you kind of politically they'd already kind of taken the things that I'd said, and you know, the housemates, they hated us because of things we say about the royal family and you know our politics and everything. So I knew that they did things, but it's like, why would you just make something that stupid up? So I've always, that's always in my head been the beacon of like the most hat stand. But I met a guy. It was a journalist who I was doing something else with, and we were just chatting, and he said, do you remember that time when we were in Ibiza and you were winding the press up, you told them that story about you the golf course? And he said, you were doing a press junket, and you were like, oh, God, these people are idiots. He said, why don't you just feed them a completely nonsense story and see if they run with it? Now, I was quite drunk at the time, so I don't remember it, but apparently I told them that.
See, I
just found out 30 years later that I actually told them.
Yeah, see, I would be very rebellious and just do things just to make things up and think, oh, really? What are they doing now?
I don't try and beat them at their own game.
I'd like to play it.
I keep my head below the parapet.
If you weren't a musician, what career path would you have liked to have taken?
I wanted to be a fireman.
Oh.
Yeah. I've always had a lot of respect for firemen. I think it's a good...
Sorry, I was just... Solid I was going to say, what? Was it the...
Are you having a sexual fantasy pitching me dressed in a fireman's uniform?
Well, I was just thinking...
Don't worry, a lot of... I have. I've had it. I've had the same...
I was going to say, was it the wellies or was it the...
It was the, it's the kind of the rubber trousers and... The
oh, bless
look.
You.
No, there was a point in my career where I thought I would have to get a proper job because I hadn't made any money for a year and I had the tax ban on me and things were looking grim. And I did actually go and start making the first waves of joining getting the physical and everything to join the fire brigade.
Fair play.
Then luckily I some remix I did hit and then...
Which one was it? Do you remember?
This is around the time of, this is just before, between Beats International and Freak Power. So Beats International sort of tanked out. And so I think it was when I wrote Turn On Tune In and then got signed to Ireland and that paid off my tax.
And then thought, don't need to be a fireman now.
Yes, I don't need to be a fireman. I think I'll stick to job A.
And finally, 2024 has been, for me at the moment, quite a good year. What plans do you have? And can you say for 2025?
No, I don't really.
Ahead.
Just to carry on doing this job that I love so dearly. Yeah. I'm aware that, you know, in my 60s, I'm in the downhill stretch. So I'm trying to wring everything out of it and, you know, live every bit of that this life can leave me before I have to retire and or just, you know, drop dead doing it. Just carry on, find new interesting places. I mean, the thing is, I've all the things I set out to do, I've done now. So it's like, where do you go from here? And the answer is sideways. It's like, it's kind of, I've been to them big and I don't want to make it any bigger. So just exploring the things going sideways and how to have more fun with the process.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
I really like your questions and I really like your style.
Thank you. Let's see how far we can go with this one.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
I shall think of you every time I wear these shoes.
Listen when you want, how you want. This was a Tone FM Listen Again.
All rights reserved, 2023.